following program was pre-recorded. To ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Welcome to New Life Live, the premier place to receive free advice from Christian psychologists and counselors for the mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual challenges you face. Since 1988, we've offered compassionate responses that combine God's truth with proven psychological principles to guide you toward healing. Our phone lines are open. Call us now at 1-800-229-3000.
Here we are, and there are you. Thanks for joining us on New Life Live. I'm your host, Brian Perez, and if you have a question for our panel, visit newlife.com/radio to find out how to get that question into the studio. And in the studio today, we've got licensed marriage and family therapist Chris Williams, along with clinical psychologist Dr. Jill Hubbard. What's new, Jill? Anything you'd like to share?
Hey, guys. Good to be back with both of you.
Yes,
indeed.
Yeah. It's been a minute.
Yes, I've been gone for a while. So I wanted to talk a little bit about reducing reactivity as a way to re-engage and reunite into relationship. So it's interesting when, as a therapist going out of town, I get everybody kind of where I think they're in a good place, make sure everybody has, you know, knows what they can do if there's a problem while I'm gone. But inevitably, when I come back, some things have stirred up and people have gotten triggered, and there's some reactivity that has happened that we need to dive into.
And I've left 4 messages on your voicemail in desperation and dire need.
And I didn't respond, did I? So I think, you know, first of all, there's reactivity in ourselves that we need to be aware of, but also reactivity in other people. And so when you notice other in other people or in yourselves, when you start getting to that place where you are limiting your options, where you get into all or nothing thinking, black and white kind of thinking, and you notice when people do that, they you know, people, when they get maxed out or they feel like their back is against the wall, they'll say things like, I'm done, I can't, leave me alone, and the volume starts going up, right? Because they don't feel heard, and really they've reached the end of their bandwidth. And so, and a lot of times when you have a partner or a friend or somebody that's in this place, then it's like, well, I've got to explain more because they're pulling away and they're shutting me down. And so, you know, for some people, they go after that. Well, that's probably not always the best thing to do, because when someone is in that fight or flight or freeze, they're in that hyper arousal state, they can't process on an adult level. We all have to come back into what's called the window of tolerance in terms of our level of activation in order to be able to process as an adult. So we need to stop and we need to bring the temperature down. So some of the things that I tell people to do, either for yourself or for others, is one, you take a timeout. So you say, you know what, I got to go use the restroom. And you go and, you know, 3 to 5 minutes, you're gone. And when you come back, sometimes that's enough of a reset. Okay, also, when someone is starting to get louder, you get quieter, right? Sometimes lean in and actually touch the person so that they know, you know, that kind of contact helps them to calm down a bit, because then you're really listening. Acknowledge their felt need. You know, I hear what you're saying, Chris. You know, I'm listening to you.
Yeah.
And then ask them, what do you need from me right now? And see if they can tell you. So you try to stay present. And now this is as long as you don't get reactive yourself.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that if you get reactive yourself, then you've got to use some of this on yourself. Take the time out. Breathe, right, and see where you're at, and then somebody has to be the one that's going to be the responder to help bring the temperature down. So I had another example, but I hear the music and I'll wait.
Okay, then we'll pick it up when we come back here on New Life Live. We've also got some phone calls from you guys. We've got Donna, Ann, and Betty standing by, ready to ask their questions. We've got Dr. Jill Hubbard and Chris Williams here in the studio. Thanks so much for joining us today on New Life Live. You can go to our website to find out all about us. It's newlife.com. We'll be right back.
90% of Christians have trouble with sex, have trouble with marriage, have trouble with communicating, because we were not ever taught practical, basic things about intimacy, about marriage, about sex. We did a huge disservice to ourselves.
When you come to intimacy in marriage, you're going to be immersed into a three-day process.
They taught us a ton of skills about connecting, about how to really help each other to feel seen and heard.
If you've thought, I don't think we can ever change, we're just in this rut and we can't get out, the Intimacy in Marriage Workshop can help you get out of the rut.
The Intimacy in Marriage Weekend is July 24th through the 26th in Washington, D.C. Register online at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and use the code NLL for a discount. 1-800-639-5433.
I think if everyone came earlier rather than later, they could save themselves years of misery and misunderstanding.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, let's go right to the phones, starting with Donna, who listens to us on Sirius XM channel 131. Hey, Donna, welcome to New Life Live.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course. How can we help you today?
Well, I called you about, I called about 2.5 months ago regarding my mother. Nothing has gotten better. We, just to make a long story short, very horrific upbringing. She was involved. My dad, of course, was involved with it. Just a lot. So fast forward, my sister is dead. My brother is out of the picture. It's my mom and I. And I have tried over the course of time, and the only thing I've ever asked of this lady is certain things I mentally can't handle anymore, conversations. And there's just two things, and that's all I've ever asked, is can we just not talk about that? And my dad's been dead 26 years. She's been out of that situation. We all have. I wanted us to have some kind of normal relationship. That has never happened. She won't allow it to happen. So 3 months ago, the conversation started again, the ones I've asked her not to bring up, and I just exploded on her and said, I've asked you not to do this. I mentally cannot handle this, and I hung up. But she's continued to text and say, you know, they're basically just generic texts. Have a good day. I love you. Have a good night. I love you. That's all it's been. And I've reached out to her via text, not phone, voice to voice. And I've said, I hate the way things are. I really just don't know how to fix this, but I have to protect my mental health. Her response was, well, I just want you to take care of yourself. They're very generic, like she doesn't care. So yesterday, I sent her a text, and I said, you know what? I said, let's just stop these conversations, these text messages. I don't feel like you even care. And no response. So I called her on the way home, and I prefaced the conversation with, I didn't call you to argue. I call you because I need to say this. And I told her, I said, I don't understand this. I'm your daughter, and I feel like you really do not care. So her response was, I don't know why you think that. And then I said, you know, we've been out of this situation 26 years. I can't help that. And that's her response. And I said, okay. I said, I can't do this. I mentally cannot handle this anymore. I said, I've just asked for two things. I've never asked for an apology for the way we grew up. I just want things to be better. She said, well, all you have to do is tell me the things you don't want me to talk about. I said, I have. We've talked about it. And I was nice. I didn't do it confrontationally. And so I gave two examples. And I have to listen to things I don't like either. I said, all right. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I will not contact you again. I'm out of your life. And I said, it blows my mind. I'm your daughter, your two daughters. My sister's dead. I said, how? You never cared.
And this just happened yesterday, you said.
Yes, this conversation. We haven't spoken voice to voice in 3 months. But she has gone 3 years without speaking to me, 2 years without speaking to me, and I have to reach out. I have to reach out. Okay, I did not cause her to marry my dad.
Yeah.
I didn't cause my dad to sexually abuse my sister. My dad killed my sister. My mom knows all of this.
Yeah.
Yet she I don't know how to deal with this. I'm mentally, I have to be done because I can't handle it. It's like she wants to stay stuck in that lifestyle, and I can't.
Yeah, Chris, what would you say to Donna?
I have so many more questions, Donna. Yeah. Just real quickly, what were the two things that you put off limits, that you set boundaries around in conversation? We don't talk about these two things. What are those two things?
Those two things were anything to do with my father or our upbringing.
Okay.
My dead sister. I can't. And then she has a sister who, and I'm just going to be real direct with you. She throws off on her sister who she's close to because her sister's kids are dysfunctional. And I'm sorry, that's pot calling the kettle black. And I just, that's all I've asked her. Let's just not talk about it. It's none of our business. And then the other,
so that's a third thing?
Natural. No, there's just those two things. I don't want to hear about your sister's children who are dysfunctional. You've got dysfunctional kids. And the other thing was, just please don't talk to me about the past. My dad, I can't cope with that. I'm not a psychiatrist.
You said your dad, your dead sister, and then also her sister's family. Is that?
Yeah, well, okay. I'm getting two broad things of like the past and then the sister's children. Yeah. So Donna, here's my guidance in this. First and foremost, your mom most likely is stuck there. Mm-hmm. That's what her internal world and probably her external world revolves around. That's all she knows how to talk about. It doesn't sound like she has, to your point, a life outside of that. And that can be incredibly frustrating. But I also think that if it's just part of the expectation that this is who she is, this is what her life revolves around, and therefore I can't have a relationship to it, I can't talk about it. But there's another aspect I want you to consider for yourself in the midst of this. And that is, what has been my own process of grief and healing around my own past, around what my father was and the hurt and pain that he did cause. So it just sounds like the past is too painful, which makes perfect sense. But this isn't just about relationship with your mom. This is about relationship with people in the world. Like, we are historical beings, and talking about our past and where we came from, and as I like to say, reading the previous chapters of the book that we're living in is really important to connection and intimacy and relational growth. And so it may just be exclusive to your mom, and I totally hear that and respect that, but if the past is too painful for you inside of you, I would just encourage you to really get into some more work around healing and reconciling reconciling your past with where you're at today, where, as I like to say, our past isn't controlling us. It's just guiding us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree, Donna. Like, where are you talking about your past? I get that your mother has not done any work to heal herself, and she's at a later stage of life too, where people reflect on their lives. And so if she's not done her own therapy and work, she's using you as the only living relative from who grew up in that to talk to about it. So it's fine for you to set boundaries around that. I think it's kind of a hard ask to say, don't ever mention anything about the past, because things do come up. Our lives are like motion pictures. They're not, it's not looking at a slide presentation where you can just take those slides out. So it's all part of what has gone into who you guys are. Now, if your mom is, excessive or antagonistic with it, or it's the old toxic behavior, even her presence is going to stir up the past for you. And she doesn't know a new way of connecting with you. And so for you, I think, go ahead.
No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
It is toxic. Nothing has changed. Mm-hmm. She thinks that medication or counseling is weakness. And I'm sorry, I totally disagree here because there's a lot more to this dynamic. We have zero relationship unless we want to sit around and talk about my neighbor this, my sister's kids that, or...
So her focus...
To me, that is toxic.
Okay, so her focus is talking about the lives of other people. That's what she focuses on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you don't do the work on the stuff that's in your life that's causing this, I guess my problem is, how do you turn a blind eye to your own and focus on somebody else? There's scripture about that, the plank in your eye.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're questioning.
She's 83 years old.
Okay. You're questioning her contradictions and her lack of insight. And it's hard because you lived through an abusive, dysfunctional family, and she has no insight about that.
Isn't it easier to talk about what other people are doing wrong so that it makes your situation look better?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think there's a strong subtext here that Donna, I'd go back to, and that is, I hear the anger and frustration you have towards your mom. And I know if we sat down and got the backstory on it, it would make perfect sense. Mm-hmm. But I also want to say this, that your mom is who she is. You mentioned she's 83. There's not much expectation that she's going to show up any different than what she's already shown up. The one thing I want to encourage you, maybe challenge, maybe lean into a little bit on, is carrying around that sort of anger and frustration towards your mom is only going to hurt you in the end. And that's where I'd go back into doing some more work on yourself, because that is frustrating when she's just like denies the hurt, doubles down on not healing, doubles down on actually shaming or calling it weakness to take medication or go to a counselor. Like that it tells me, you know, a dangerous person may have left her life 26 years ago, but she herself never got undangered, so to speak, you know, and
almost took on being kind of a dangerous person herself, perhaps.
I hate to say it like this, but yes, her dad was a dangerous person, but got the scapegoat for everyone else's dangerous behaviors. Mm-hmm. And my guess is that mom carries her own really damaging behaviors, and dad gets to be the scapegoat. And Donna, it makes perfect sense. It's like, mom, you're never taking ownership and looking at yourself and having a conversation with you. It can never be a real thing. Mm-hmm. And that's really painful and hurtful. Mm-hmm. On the other side of that, you know, I have some personal experience with this with my own dad, of like just realizing, whoa, carrying around this amount of frustration and anger just is not going to help me in the long run.
Yeah, learning how, and Donna, I sort of remember you from before, but learning how to unhook from needing anything from mom.
Yeah.
You've got to get, and I may be said this before, and I maybe even mentioned my book, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, is a good one for situations like this. But unhooking, seeing what there is there, right? We don't have to completely leave relationship, but we have to be really clear on what it is and what it isn't. And you're not going to get most of your needs met here. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to stay in relationship to the degree that it's possible, but then take your needs elsewhere and unhook from needing something from someone who can't give it to you.
That is a harsh reality to have to face.
It is a very harsh reality.
It's a sad reality.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. We want to have relationship with our parents or whoever it might be.
We want them to get it. Yes. Like it feels like vital to our existence.
Yeah. Especially in Donna's case. Her mom is 83.
Yeah, she knows. Come on, mom, get it.
Yeah, yeah. So, Donna, thank you so much for calling in today to New Life Live. We've got a webinar coming up. It's about grief, and I think it'd be good for you to attend this webinar. It's happening on July 16th. We'll send you a free registration just for calling in today to New Life Live. Anybody else that's interested, we have the details at newlife.com, or you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's $24.99 for a 90-minute session that includes 30 minutes of Q&A. And like I said, it's all online. You don't need to go anywhere, don't need to pack your bags or anything. We're bringing the webinar to you. It's on a Thursday night, July 16th, and again, the details are at newlife.com. We've got another webinar coming up right before that, and in fact, that one is next week on Thursday, June 11th, and our friend JJ West is hosting that one. It's about your identity in Christ. So often, we look at the things that have hurt us in the past, or the ways that we've hurt other people, the addictions we've had, everything else. And even though we are new creations in Christ, we keep dwelling on what we did. Maybe you're, you know, you had a problem with alcohol years ago and you slipped up, and so you had another drink recently, and now you're thinking, oh, see, I'm just always going to be an alcoholic. I'm never going to get rid of this thing. You have a new identity in Christ, and that's what this webinar is all about. You can sign up for it at newlife.com. You can text the word webinar to 28950. We'll send you a registration link for this particular webinar, as well as a tip sheet. Again, the details at newlife.com. We've got to take a break here on New Life Live, and when we come back, we'll talk to Ann and Betty and anyone else who wants to talk to Jill and Chris today.
Everybody, it's Becky Brown. If you want to be part of what God is doing through New Life, we have a matching gift campaign going on right now. We had a group of donors. They believe in the ministry of New Life. They see how our world needs truth, compassion, needs grace, and it needs some clinical expertise. And so we started with a seed of $250,000, and we have just been blessed with another additional $50,000 towards the seed. So the match is now at $300,000. So that means every dollar that you give will be doubled up to that amount, and it will make a difference in the lives of so many people. It helps New Life continue to do the work that we've done for close to 40 years. I want to encourage you, if you want to be part of the match, you can go to newlife.com/match, or you can text the word match to 28950 or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Your gift will be doubled and will make such a difference in the lives of so many people.
I was sort of vaguely familiar that the 12 steps had some origination in the Bible. I found Life Recovery. And one of the things I liked so much was that it had such a broad appeal. It wasn't limited to just alcohol or drugs, that it was addressing a wide range of problems.
At New Life, we believe everyone can benefit from a life recovery experience. There are life recovery groups all over the country. They take place online, in conference calls, and in person. And if there isn't one in your area, we can help you start one. We have startup materials, leaders' guides, CDs, Bibles, and more, all with discounts available for groups. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for Terry Ward. The 12 steps have long been a great help to people in recovery, because much of the 12 steps' power comes from the fact that they capture principles clearly revealed in the Bible.
The 12 steps is really a pattern for all of us as Christians.
You can also find out more at liferecoverygroups.com. To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We have some phone calls to get to, and we're going to go right now to Ann in Charlotte, who is watching us on YouTube. Welcome, Ann, to New Life Live.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my phone call. I appreciate it.
Of course. How can we help you today?
Sure. My question is, what I can do to improve my long-term dating relationships. They usually go very well, best of friends. Of course, there's conflict, you know, at times, but that's in any relationship. We work through that. And they don't end in marriage. So, you know, the conversation about marriage comes up, you know, numerous times over the course of the years that we're together. And that's one of my first questions too, when we begin a relationship, is that something that they would like? And it is. And it's usually over, you know, as we date, yes, of course, I would love to marry you. And once it gets down to, okay, well then, you know, obviously we need to take next steps. That's kind of where there are no next steps. So, you know, I want to date with purpose and intentionally, and not just a date to date. And so then I feel like I'm the one who ends the relationship, you know, saddened, right? But I'm not going to date just to date.
And you say these are long term?
Yeah, like how long term are we talking? How long do you let things go on for?
Too long.
Okay.
So typically. One was, well, they're long distance too, so it's in a different state. Mm. But there's not a certain amount of time, but I would say, and let me just preface this. I'll just give the 1 minute explanation so you're not like, oh my gosh, she's crazy. But one was around 5 years, and that was because he was in grad school, and then once he finished, then I started grad school, so we both wanted to be finished. The other one was there's a tragic loss, and that one was about 6 years. There's a tragic loss in the family, and he wanted to stay with his family for 4 years until, because he promised that person if anything happened to him, which it did, he died, that he would stay there to help take care of his niece for the 4 years until she graduated from high school. So there was a little bit of that, which of course I understood, so I stayed the course. But then once, you know, things were, okay, now we're both finished with grad school, or okay, now, you know, it's almost been 4 years, let's go ahead and plant, you know, and it's like, I would love to marry you, but I don't want to leave. It's always been, they don't want to leave. I'm the one who has to move there. So it just seems so conditional in that I've never asked for them to move here, right?
Well,
but I,
well, and yeah, yeah, but,
and can I just ask, how old are you now, Anne?
Sure, I'm 50.
Okay.
So, Anne, yeah, a couple of things. Like, we typically think of marriage as building relationship together over the rest of our lives. And that's true. But we oftentimes forget the second just as essential aspect of marriage, and that is building a common life together for the rest of our lives. And so that's typically why most long-distance relationships don't work, is because there's not a common life together to be built. You know, and if there's competition of grad school, this, and so when you don't actively move towards integrating lives together, that is a significant sign that this isn't, quote unquote, the relationship itself isn't marriage material, because this isn't daily life together, in, you know, day in and day out. And so that's one of the key indicators that I would, you know, encourage you to be looking for. Hey, if I'm getting into relationship, and marriage is an expectation in the relationship, and I want to date intentionally, but then I've got to be intentional, not just about how well we get along relationally, but how well our lives can integrate into each other. And that's usually where, so I'd say it's 50-50 actually, between the relate, I call it the relating and the creating part of marriage. You know, the relating part is how we, you know, get along, but I see a ton of conflicts in life having to be worked out and expectations around common life together. So that seemed like, for me, it's like, oh, well, yeah, because your relationships are missing 50% of what makes a marriage work.
Right. Especially if throughout the whole 5 to 6 years you stayed long distance. Like there was never, after a, you know, a year or so, somebody moving towards the other one.
Yeah,
I agree. The long distance over a long time doesn't really work. And at this, you know, here's the thing, a couple of things. At this stage of life, you don't have time to keep repeating 5-year relationships. So you're right, they're way too long. You know, I mean, typically, it's like research has shown that it's optimal to get engaged from 1.5 to 2.5 years of dating. And then once it goes beyond that, the likelihood of it panning into marriage is less. Now, that said, later in life, people have a lot of baggage. And so sometimes you have to work through fears and things like that. And it's like, why was long distance working not only for you, but also for them? What is it? What are you attracting in the long distance that are people that maybe are more avoidant, or, you know, are lacking the ability to commit and like the companionship, you know, that's intermittent, but not the full commitment? So I think the dating has to start being done differently.
Yeah.
You've got to change your pattern here. right?
So this can I ask a question then?
Sure.
Yes, but okay. We have to go to break. Mm-hmm. So Yvette, stay on.
Stay on the line.
Stay on the line. And we'll talk to you when we come back here on New Life Live. And Betty, we want to speak with you as well. So thanks, you guys, for calling in today. We will continue our conversation with Anne and then talk to Betty on New Life Live.
My husband addicted to pornography for the majority of our marriage. I was very isolated and didn't really know which way to turn.
If you've been affected by betrayal, an emotional or physical affair, or pornography, the Restore Intensive will equip you with support and tools to help you through.
I went to the Restore Conference, which seems to be the missing puzzle piece where I was able to find my voice.
When two people want to do their part, we can be restored. But if they don't, we are not stuck because someone else made a decision. God lets us weigh in on how we want to walk out our lives.
The Restore Intensive is coming to Washington, D.C., November 13th through the 15th. Register online at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Enter the code NLL for a discount.
I'm navigating my world now. I've had a great experience at Restore.
1-800-NEW-LIFE and the discount code NLL. Do you need help for life's hard situations?
My husband recently said he wanted a divorce.
I'm confused on what I should do.
I have an eating disorder.
New Life Live answers your questions on relationships, grief, addiction, trauma, anxiety, and much more, all from a biblical perspective with our panel of professional counselors and psychologists.
I learn a lot from your program.
You help so many people.
I appreciate your ministry.
Whether you listen or watch, there are so many ways to connect with us to ask our panel of counselors a question. Call us Monday through Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific at 1-800-229-3000 to ask your question on New Life Live. Or go to newlife.com/radio for other ways to get your question answered.
I'm trying to find help.
I just want to know how to set boundaries.
If it's a sin, what am I supposed to do?
Need a therapist or a coach, a resource or an intensive? Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, let's go back to Anne watching us on YouTube in Charlotte. You still with us, Anne?
Yes, I am. So I have two quick questions pertaining to what you said. So thank you for sharing. So one is, so what I hear you saying, then I'm supposed to... So we date for 2 years and I'm supposed to move, like sell my house, buy another house, leave my job, get another job. And then 6 months later, we end the relationship. And so like, that's really, that's a heavy one.
That is, excuse me. So why are you dating people so far away? If you're set in your, if you're set in your life, then why pick these people at a distance? Because both people are going to be, at this stage of life, are going to be set. And maybe, as we were saying, happy with their lives. So you're saying that why would anyone expect you to move, but then are you saying the other person has to move? Like, somebody's got to give up their life where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
I'm okay with moving. It's not I'm against moving. It's that it's the other person who's not willing to move. And that's where if there's no compromise in that, like, why is it that I always have to be the one to move into their space?
Maybe, right. So maybe not date long distance.
Mm-hmm.
What's the attraction in long distance dating for you?
The one was that was, it was someone I knew from a long, long time ago. So okay. That was an easy one. And then the other one, he lives about 4.5 hours away, just in a different state. So it's not, you know, we met a lot halfway, you know, we just made it work.
And I'm just curious, when I go back to, because you're right about the compromise.
Mm-hmm.
When I go back to, you know, marriage is building a common life together, that
yeah.
There's still this question of like, well, who's common life? And I'm like, whoa, we're so far off of like, what, you know, because I was joking around on the break. I said, well, you know, don't want it to be conditional, but there are tremendous amount of conditions. And at your stage of life, those conditions, and when you meet a person, could be previous marriages, could be children, could be, you know, job obligations, could be health obligations. Like, family. There are so many aspects of life that incorporate life together that, again, when you're trying to meld two lives that are set, I mean, that's a big, big ask. And so there seems to be a little bit of a disconnection to reality in the sense of, you know, they say they want to be married, but it never follows through. And then I'm the person who has to make all the sacrifices is what I hear. And that makes a lot of sense. But I just think that earlier on in the relationship are need to be more hardline conversations, difficult conversations of like, if we were to get married, what exactly would that look like? What are the issues? What does it mean for you to be in relationship with your children and in relationship with me? What does it mean for you to be in your location or your family? All of those sort of things, because that far and away at your stage of life is going to be the most challenging, hopefully most rewarding, but most challenging aspect of it. Now, as Jill was saying, if you're creating more barriers through geographical distance, it makes the marriage proposition even more difficult.
Right. Okay. And you're passing into, you know, past the time where people are motivated to get married.
Yeah.
And so then it's the problems. And you should be able to see earlier on, Anne, whether another person is sacrificial in their life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Whether they're a giving person, whether they want it to all revolve around them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, within a year and a half, you should be able to tell, is this someone I could go the distance with? Now, some people do take longer to get ready, depending on their baggage. Mm-hmm. So that's fine. But at the same time, you should be aware of those things. And let's not hold on to the false hope that gets you so entrenched and so invested that it's hard to step out.
Yeah.
Okay, I will stick with my state.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm more willing to go or to, you know, I just think love is sacrificial, right? But when the other person is not, like, that just makes me just question a lot of stuff. So,
right, so don't set up that barrier, like you said, Chris, from the get-go. Try dating locally.
Yeah.
And see what develops that way.
Well, and if I could just shift one statement. Okay. Yes, of course, love is sacrificial, but love more accurately is reciprocal. I wanted to go
for that's a better word,
because sacrificial sets up really, really trappings of expectations that are going to let you down. But love is reciprocal, meaning that we're both giving and taking here.
There's mutuality.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you so much. I love that. That's beautiful.
All right, Anne.
I would love to see that come to fruition.
Me too.
We'll
me too.
Thank you both.
We'll believe it for you. Thanks for calling in today to New Life Live. All right.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless you. Before we go to our next call, I want to, if there's any woman out there listening who's been faced with sexual betrayal, we know it's common to look at the whole problem and get overwhelmed with the enormity of the situation. And as if the betrayal wasn't bad enough, then there's the legal, financial, social, physical, emotional, and mental toll that it takes. Women feel pressured to fix everything. Still take care of the kids, make sure the bills are paid, all while reeling from the pain and confusion that they're experiencing. Well, New Life has created a space for women to come, breathe, and begin healing. It's our Restore Workshop, led by counselors who understand faith-based betrayal, trauma, recovery. You'll learn that true healing is possible. We are so, so sorry that betrayal is part of your story, but please plan to join us in Washington, D.C. the weekend of November 13th. You can get all the details at newlife.com or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. In fact, if finances are an issue, call, because we might be able to help you with a need-based scholarship. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the phone number. Let's go back to the phones. Here is Betty, who is watching us or listening to us on newlife.com in New York. Welcome, Betty, to New Life Live.
Yes, hello.
Hello, how can we help you today?
I'm concerned about my son who doesn't have much of a life as far as a social life, and I have a health issue that I'm going to be end of life, you know. So I'm trying to figure out, how can I help my son that is constantly on the cell phone, looking all kind of stuff on the cell phone, but doesn't have any strong people in his life to be there for him when I'm gone.
Mm. How old is your son?
39.
He's 39. And does he live with you or live in the area?
He lives with me.
Okay. Mm. And so, does he have interests, hobbies, job? What's his life? Yeah, what's his life look like?
Okay, well, he has a job. He works with sheet metal, so he works, and then he comes home and be on the cell phone constantly. But as far as having people, you know, that he doing things with other people, he doesn't do that.
Mm. Is he just a curious question? Is he part of a union, the sheet metal workers union?
Yes, he is.
Okay. This is really ironic, but I've actually done some consulting work with them, and they have done a phenomenal job in building up their mental health. It's called the SMART program, and the acronym is SMOHIT. I think that's the acronym for the union, but want him to really build out networks within his union. I think that there's a lot more resources for him and a lot more opportunities for him through his workplace, for him to expand his relationships, for him to maybe look at, it sounds like he may be struggling with some depression. Obviously, isolation is a huge part of that. And when a person gets isolated, when they're on their screens and when they're 39 years old and when they're lonely, they're oftentimes not looking at great things, you know? And so falling into traps around that, you're right, he does need to get outside. But from your perspective, I think just talking to him honestly and from the heart, what your, as a mom, what your concerns are, what your hopes are for him, and how that you'll help guide him in the areas that you can. But really, it's up to him to do this. But these are moments where these are heart-to-heart conversations that you want to lead with love and lead with truth in them.
Mm-hmm. And if it's true that you have a diagnosis where you won't be here as long, I mean, you can use that, right?
Yeah,
there are
absolutely
things that I feel like I have to say before I'm not able to say them. And a lot of times people will give you grace for that.
Yeah.
Betty, we're curious about his growing up years as well.
Yes.
So maybe we can talk about that when we come back here on New Life Live. So if you'll stay through the break, we'll continue our conversation with you. Thanks so much for watching and listening today. We are New Life Live.
Hello, it's Becky Brown. I am so excited to launch our 99 for the One Partner Initiative. Every day we hear from people all over the world who are looking for hope. They've been lost in a relationship struggle, addiction, anxiety, depression, all kinds of ways. And it reminds us of the story in Luke 15, where the shepherd that leaves the 99 to go rescue the one. And you know, we've seen God work in the lives of so many people over the years here at New Life, and we want to invite you to be part of what God is doing. 99 for the One is our partner program that you can give to the ministry on a monthly basis to make sure that we continue to reach out to the lost.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433, or newlife.com/99-for-one. For over 35 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addiction, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
I found a counselor through New Life Ministries, and it's just been outstanding.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol,
I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first steps toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door for a better tomorrow.
To get someone that's competent, that's good at what they do, it's been like day and night compared to what I've had before.
Call 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, back to Betty. You still with us, Betty? Betty, you there?
Yes,
there you
I'm
are.
Here.
Okay. So what do you think of what you've heard so far?
Okay, so far, but I'm trying to figure out what, for me, what should I do?
Yeah, Betty, we're also wondering, has he ever had relationships in life?
No, not really. Not seen it at last.
In school as a little boy?
Friendships
up,
and things, not like necessarily
a
dating
friend.
Relationships. Yeah.
Yeah, so no, he had them, but not like friends coming over and things like that.
Wow.
And that was because of me. I was a workaholic, and the house wasn't in order all the time. And so that's why kids didn't get to come over and all.
And where's Dad? Is he in the picture at all?
Oh, Dad's deceased.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right,
yeah.
So, Betty, this is not great news. What you can do is not much, because the not much part of it is that you're not in control of his life at 39 years old. So much of this is the maturation, the risk-taking, the getting out is all up to him and on his own. What you can do, I think, is a couple of things. It does sound like you guys have had, you know, with Dad out of the picture and him deceased, it's like there's been a lot of struggle in your guys' life. It is very, very natural for parents, and especially for moms, to carry mom guilt.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, maybe I didn't parent him the way he needed to be parented, and therefore his life is such a huge struggle right now. So what can I do to fix his life? And I just think that there's a couple things. One, I want you to get yourself off the hook there. I don't want you to, you know, carry that regret with you the rest of the time that you have left of learning how to let go of your own struggles or your own deficiencies as a parent growing up and still having those conversations with your son. I think there's a lot of meaningful moments that you, to Jill's point, that using this time and this limited time usually increases the impact and the meaning of the conversations, mm-hmm. and you want to be able to utilize that.
Right, and asking him, how does he feel about his life?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right, what feels unresolved, right? You want to leave this world feeling like he's in a good place. And so what does that look like to him? Because what it might look like to you may be very different to him.
Mm-hmm.
But also, how does he feel about your diagnosis, Betty?
Yeah, yeah.
How is he coping with that? He's already lost his dad. And so, you know, mind numbing on the phone or going down rabbit holes or looking at different things is a way of coping and distracting oneself.
Yeah, escaping his own reality.
Escaping his own reality. So what is it about his reality that he likes or doesn't like?
Mm-hmm.
And he may be more, you know, you may not have been able to facilitate a lot of, you know, social gatherings when he was young, but he also may be more of a loner kid anyway, because it doesn't sound like he was being invited to other kids' houses. So, you know, having just a few people in his life may be enough for him, and encouraging ways for him to get plugged in.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a hard one.
Yeah, I'm going to say, like, because he had left home for a short time, and he came back because he because I was by myself.
Okay.
And
so he's connected to you.
Yeah, so I wished I hadn't had allowed him to go to the military. He started to do that, and I was afraid, you know, he'd go over there and get killed. He didn't do that, so he has a lot of blocks, I guess, that I put in, and I wish I hadn't.
Yeah, so maybe it's time to own those, Betty.
Mm-hmm.
To say, you know, you're reflecting, and you realize because of your fear, you stopped him from doing things.
Oh, thank you. I'll ask him that today.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And what does he wishes he could have done or would still like to do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If he didn't, maybe he feels like he needs to be here for you and take care of you. And what could he start doing to have more of his own life and letting him know that you're okay? You appreciate him mm-hmm. being here and part of your life, but you're okay. And it's okay for him to start to branch out. That would okay. actually please you.
Branch out is a good thing.
Yes, yes, right. yes, yes.
Yeah.
And one other thing that I was going to mention here, there are three primary beliefs that we carry in the world, usually subconsciously, but they control us so much. The first one is what we believe about ourselves. The second is what we believe about people. And the third is what we believe about the world. So, like, mm-hmm. if I believe that for myself I'm not good enough, that people are dangerous, or that, you know, people are bad and the world is dangerous, you better believe I'm going to live a very, very mm-hmm. small, isolated life. Mm. And those are very common beliefs that usually are not overt, but they get in the messaging that we give, like, oh, the world's a dangerous place, so we're trying to protect you from all this. Well, I'm not here to deny the world's a dangerous place, but what if the world was an amazing place of great opportunity and God's abundance? That's a very different way to look at it. What if people are image bearers of God that do carry like some bad traits about them and are also wonderfully, fearfully made? What if I, again, struggle with my own sin and my own things, and I'm an amazing person that God has put on this earth for a specific purpose. So when we start working through those beliefs, our behaviors, and match it with our behaviors, our experience of the world, other people, and ourselves become very different.
Betty, thank you for calling in today to New Life Live from New York, and thanks for watching and listening to us there on newlife.com. You know, we've got another round of New Life courses beginning in about 2 months. These three courses start the week of August 10th. Which one are you doing this time? We have three of them. Take Your Life Back, Lose It for Life, and Healing is a Choice. These are online courses. They meet for an hour a week for 12 weeks. You can get the descriptions of each of these under the group support tab on our website, newlife.com, or you can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Again, they begin in August, so you still got a few weeks left, and you can make a decision of which one you're going to go to. If you've already attended one of them or gone through one of the courses and you couldn't decide last time which one to attend, well, now you know which one to attend this time, the one you didn't attend last time. So get the details at newlife.com or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And, you know, on the most difficult days in your life, who did you call? Here at New Life, we take calls every day from people that are going through some of their worst situations. You've heard the calls this week. You've heard the calls just today. They call us looking for hope and a way forward. And because of the generous gifts of our supporters, we're able to connect them with Christ-centered resources that put them on a path of healing and restoration. The result is marriages that are saved, addictions that are broken, relationships that are restored. All of it is for God's glory. And when you give, you're part of the transformation story. And when you give right now, your gift has double the impact because of a $300,000 matching gift. Brian, didn't you say last week it was $250? Yes, I did. I love that you guys pay so much attention. One of our already generous donors contributed another $50,000. That person knows that we take our calling seriously. Your turn to call in and make a difference. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number, or you can give at newlife.com, or my favorite way, text the word MATCH to 28950. You can also send us a check. Find our new mailing address in the footer at our website, newlife.com. God bless you guys. Have a great weekend. We'll see you at church on Sunday, and we'll talk to you here on Monday on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. The preceding program was pre-recorded.